This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, where the Old Trailblazer Broadcast goes out every day, Monday through Friday. And I want to give you this information. You can hear this broadcast. Also, our church services, Bible school, and worship hour, you can pick them up on our website there at radiomissions.org, and you can pick them up there and on your audio. And then we also on another website, sermonaudio.com. You can hear us there, and also the Voice of Truth broadcast. So if you'd like more information, I'll try to have those numbers in front of me on our next broadcast and give them all to you. But it's grace to be back with you today, tonight, whatever time you're hearing this broadcast. And I appreciate you allowing us to come in your homes there. And I ask you to stay tuned. Don't turn off and go outside. And I hope somebody's listening. Would you write me? Let me know that you're listening. We get much mail from many folks, but we've gone on some new stations. We just plain old, simple old country bumpkin the Lord picked up and saved. I was born and raised here in South Louisiana on a strawberry patch. And I tell folks I was so green, the geese followed me around. But the Lord had mercy on me. Had his hand upon me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. I have no pretense about what I am and who I am. I know nothing. I am nothing. I have nothing except what the Lord gave me. And I have a substitute. We were speaking about that in our last study. And I have a substitute. The Lord Jesus Christ took my place. But we're bringing you a series of studies on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we've been looking there at the church at Ephesus. Now, at this time, we're moving on to the church at Smyrna, or the persecuted church. Smyrna was a persecuted church. But before we go into this study, I want us just to review a little. Revelation 1:3 tells us, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." If the reader is blessed, and if they that hear the words of this prophecy are blessed, and if those that keep the words of this prophecy are blessed, then why is this such a neglected book, Revelation? This book was written to the servants or bond slaves of Christ, which I think answers why so few understand it. It's not written to unsaved individuals, to unsaved preachers, unsaved church members, unsaved theological professors. No, it's written to those born of the Spirit of God. We also found in Revelation 1:19 the divine division of this book. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. The things which thou hast seen, take up the first chapter. The vision of Christ amid the lampstand. The things which are comprise the second and third chapters are the letters of Christ to the seven churches of Asia, which are prophetic of the church period. Then the things which shall be hereafter are the things which shall be after these things. They are the things which shall follow the church period and are set forth from the fourth chapter of Revelation through the rest of the book. From the fourth chapter of Revelation through the remainder of the book is yet to be fulfilled. In our last study, we brought you the services there, the study on the first letter that Christ dictated. It was sent there to the church at Ephesus, and the church that had left her first love. The church at Ephesus represents the church at the end of the apostolic age. We see as the apostolic age came to a close that the church as a whole, and I'm just using this word church here to embrace all the assemblies, it was on the decline. The church was on the decline and was leaving her first love. And we now come to that letter which Christ dictated to John for the angel of the church of Smyrna, which was sent to that church and was read to that assembly, and it covers four small verses. Listen, it only covers four small verses, Revelation 2:8-11, but what a message it contains, even to our own hearts. And I hope to your hearts, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt in the second death. Now that's the reading of those four verses. Smyrna was a wealthy and prosperous city. When this church was established there and by whom, we have no record. We don't know. We have no knowledge. It may have been from the missionary endeavor of the church there at Ephesus. We don't know. The word Smyrna comes from the word myrrh, which means bitterness, and is associated with death. It is used here to represent the persecuted church, just as the Ephesian church represented the church that left its first love. So Smyrna represents the persecuted church, which continued through the period of the Great Persecution until A.D. 316. During this time, there were 10 great periods of intense persecution instigated by 10 Roman emperors in their efforts to destroy Christianity and blot off the face of the earth every born-again believer. Now, I want you to listen, my friend. This particular persecution of the believers at Smyrna was caused by the Jews in that community. The members of the Jewish synagogue, in order to reveal their hatred for the Christian disciples, would publish untrue statements concerning them as to their character, their purpose, and their manner of life. These stories told by these Jews, which represent the unsaved religionists of today, excited the pagan population of that city and led them to take their property away from them by whatever means they could, turn them out of employment, and anything in the world that they could do to reduce them to the point of poverty and starvation. The born-again believers of Smyrna were boycotted, hated, and despised and belittled by both the Jews, the unsaved religionists, and the pagans and unbelievers. Listen now. It's to this persecuted church that Christ dictated this special love letter and addressed it himself to them as the first and addressed himself to them as the first and the last, which was dead and is now alive. We find these words in the first chapter when he addressed John, who was smitten with a great fear and became as one dead. He laid his right hand upon John's head and said, "Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." This was a great comfort to those persecuted disciples to know that the Lord Jesus Christ was the living one who had passed through death and had come out with the keys of death and hell. As Christ approached those disciples who were living in the shadow of death, many already had suffered martyrdom, starved to death, or had been slain with the rest of them, approaching certain death. He came to them with this great message. He said, "My children, I am the master of all these dark matters. I hold in my hand the keys of death and hell. I am the first and the last. I know that you're suffering. I know what you're going through with. I have been there, and I came out alive. You look to me as the one who has redeemed you with his own precious blood, the one who went to the cross and died as your substitute, paying your sin debt. You look to me as the one who went down in the dark caverns of death, the dark night of the tomb, as your scapegoat, carried your sins far away. You look to me as the one who was dead and is yet alive forevermore. And as I live, ye shall live. And I hold by my side the keys of death and hell." Now let's notice this fact, that nowhere in this letter to that persecuted church at Smyrna did Christ offer a solution to their problems. Nowhere did he give them one bit of encouragement that their persecution would soon be over, and they would be given back their jobs and their prosperity. No, instead of holding out hope, he told them to get ready to die. The hope of the born-again believer is Christ, and to know him is the only thing that matters in this life. If we are called upon either to surrender voluntarily or under persecution, to lose everything in the world that we have earthly, what else matters if we know him? Because in yonder life, we will be like him. Now, my friend, I have read many, many accounts of the martyrs back there in those days. And I've read the stories there of some of the old writers, especially back there in the days of the persecution. And I have read the story, John Bunyan's blind daughter Mary. During her lifetime, there was a woman there that had befriended many of the dissenters and those who preached the gospel. And somehow or another, they found out about that lady. I don't remember her name. I may look it up and tell you. But they found out that she was hiding those people who were preaching the gospel and who was God's children. And they came, the authorities came, and dragged her out of her house and dragged her down the street, the big street, and drove a stake down and tied her to the stakes and built a fire around her and burned her. Now, my friend, that's what God's children have suffered through. You and I don't suffer. We don't suffer. We miss a meal. We complain. We don't get 3 square meals a day. We complain. If it rains when we want to play golf, some folks play. I don't play. But they squawk and complain and mutter. But, my friend, God's children have suffered all of the days of Christian spirit. When God's children, I wish you'd get those books, Fox's Book of Martyrs. We have it here at the bookstore. And it just tells, I can hardly read it. I can hardly read it. Because of one man they burned at the stake as he was dying, as the Spirit came upon him so graciously, he reached down and pulled up the coals around him. Yeah. Yeah, and then Dr. Copeland told of the time when they threw the Christian to the lions over there, in that great hall there, out there. And he said that they kept the lions shut up for several days without any food, thinking it would be more vicious. And when they devour them right away, that was mercy, my friend. They devoured. Had they been full, they would have toyed with them and played with them. I've seen a cat do a rat that way, just take him and bump him around and bite on him. But the lions devoured them. That was mercy. Oh, a quick death was mercy. But my friend, God's children suffer. But what if we do? What if we lose everything and still have Christ? Christ plus nothing, Christ minus nothing. And I wish you'd think about your soul. Let me just take a moment I have left and ask you, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Do you have a hope? Is your foundation sure, or are you on a sandy foundation? Can you look up and say, thank you, Lord, for dying for an old sinner like me? I can. The old trailblazer can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Christ died for sinners. Oh, my friend, what grace it is to know the Lord. I wish you'd write me and let me know that you know the Lord. Tell me when the Lord saved you and how he saved you and that you're praising the Lord with me. And then write me and tell me and be praying for me. Remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. And our email address is pastor@radiomissions.org. You can write us or email us. Till next time, may the Lord's richest blessings rest upon you. Goodbye and God bless you.
This month, Radio Missions is offering a new flash drive containing the original Old Trailblazer broadcasts as presented by Pastor L.R. Shelton in the early days of the ministry. These flash drives contain over 100 historic messages with sound effects. Each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.